Jude, and I draw your attention to the verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And in verses 20 to 23, as we said last week, we have Jude's closing exhortation, his concluding practical exhortation to the saints in an age of apostasy. And the text is to be immediately linked with the verse 3. You'll see that there are some words that occur in verse 3 that occur in verse 20. The word faith occurs in verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then in verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And so you'd underline the word faith there and you draw a railway track from that word down to verse 20. There's another word that occurs in verse 3 that occurs in verse 20. It's the word beloved. And draw a railway track between those two words as well. The exhortation in verse 20 is linked with the introduction in verse 3. I'm exhorting you to earnestly contend for the faith, beloved. How do you do that? And at the end he tells us, beloved, this is how you do it. And you have to first of all start by building up yourselves on that most holy faith that you are to contend for. And that's the very first thing that the child of God is to do. He's to build himself up in that most holy faith. And he's not going to properly contend unless he does that. And so that's really what we're thinking about tonight. And so we're addressing the converted. We're addressing Christians. That's what Jude is doing. He says, beloved. So he's assuming that they are Christians. Only Christians are beloved. They're beloved of God. They're beloved of Jesus Christ. They're beloved of the Holy Spirit. They've been brought into the fold. That they're saved. And they love the Lord. So they're identified with love. Beloved Christians. And so I need to emphasize that this is an exhortation to the child of God. You must first be a Christian before you can be a contender. You must first be in the faith before you can build yourself up on the faith. And so it's only to Christians that this exhortation is given. And if you're not a Christian, well, then I would urge you to become a Christian. And I would urge you to get into Christ. And I would urge you to come to the faith. And I would urge you to believe the gospel. What does Paul say in the Colossians? He says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. That's the order. You have to first receive Christ. And then you have to walk with him. And then you're rooted in him, and then you build yourself up in him. And that's the order, and we're thinking about the building up part of the people of God as Jude describes it here. We've seen last week what our most holy faith is. We've seen that this isn't trust and something subjective in us, our faith, but this is the Christian faith, the holy faith, the things that are revealed in the Bible and in the Word of God that we love and that we believe and that we want to build ourselves up in and that we want to contend for. And so this building up ourselves on our most holy faith is what I want to talk about tonight. How do we do that? It is something that is to be done. It's to be done daily. It's to be done perpetually. It's to be continually worked at until the day we die, building up ourselves on the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. And how are we to do that? And that's what I really want to speak about tonight. How do you as a believer build yourself up? And how do we as a congregation build ourselves up? The way the Lord wants us to be built up so that we're strong in our faith, strong as a congregation, not necessarily a big congregation. We're not going to be built up big in numbers. We're just in a little village. But we can be built up in the faith. We can be strong in our spirits and in our souls. And that's the kind of building up that the Holy Spirit's interested in for us, this flock here this evening. And that's really what I want to speak about. How do we do that? How do we build ourselves up? Well, it's by what we call edification. That's the important word, edification. We're not only a building on a foundation, being built up on a foundation. There's an image of a building here, but we're also a flock. And we're led by a great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are built up by him. How does he build us up as a flock? By feeding us. That's how the sheep are built up in the Bible, by being fed. And that's another image. And we're edified by God's word. You remember how Paul said to the elders in Ephesus, he says, "Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And so Paul is telling the elders, you need to be built up, men. You need to be built up, men, to lead your congregations in Ephesus. And he says, "I'm going away. I'm not coming back again. I'll never meet you again." But he says, "I commend you to the word, which is able to build you up." And so we're talking about edification. We're talking about being built up by the word. And so we might paraphrase our text, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We might paraphrase the text, edify yourselves. Feed yourselves on your most holy faith. And so the most holy faith is not only our foundation upon which we stand and upon which we are built, but the faith, the most holy faith, is the very feeding ground. It's the very wheat fields that we feed ourselves upon. That's all we feed on. We don't feed on the world. That's not going to build us up strong. No, it's the most holy faith upon which we have established ourselves in the faith. And that's the feeding ground by which we feed and edify our souls. And so we have the image here of not only a foundation, but we have the image here of the feeding fields of our most holy faith. We're built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That is their words. And we feed on them. Or to change the image, we've talked about a building image in the text. We talked about the image of a flock being fed and edified. We could change the image to a body. The church is compared to a body, a human body. And Christ is our head. He's our glorious head. And how are we built up in him? We're built up in him the way a body's built up. How does a body grow? It grows, doesn't it? It gets bigger. It gets stronger. It gets a mature body. It becomes a perfect body. It becomes unto the stature, as the Bible says, of the Son of God. And how is it going to become that? How are you going to become like Christ? How are you going to become more like the Savior? How are you going to be built up to be godly? It's by growth. And how do we grow? By edification, by food, by eating, by getting the vitamins and all the vital parts into our body. And spiritually, that's the same. We have to get the vitamins of the holy faith into the body of the church, that we might be strong, and being strong, then we can contend for the faith. You can't contend for the faith if you're not strong in the faith. You're not built up in the faith. You'll just be a weakling, and you'll be blown away. No, we have to feed ourselves as a church and as the people of God, and we have to do this congregationally and corporately, and we have to also do this privately, feeding ourselves. If the church doesn't do this, if we don't feed ourselves, brethren and sisters, nobody else is going to do it. The world's not going to feed you to grow up to be like Christ. It wants to make you like a dwarf. It wants to stunt your growth. And the Lord's not going to force feed you either.
The Lord's not going to come down, as it were, and just fill you full of all the spiritual vitamins of the Word unless you feed yourselves. You have to do this yourself. Build up yourselves. It's something we have to do. And if we don't do it, the Lord's not going to do it.
And at the end of the day, it's something that we have to do ourselves. Feed ourselves.
So this is what I'm talking about tonight. Edifying ourselves. This is first, you notice. Jude doesn't put this away down at the end of the list. No, he puts this at the very start. This is the first thing. And so this is where we begin. Feeding on God's Word. This is primary. This is major. And the church does it by feeding on the Scriptures. And so with every child of God, with you tonight and with me, God's Word has to be central. It must be central. It's first. Now, we are to edify ourselves, first of all, 2 points. We're to do it privately, and we're to do it corporately. Privately, first of all, we must feed ourselves in the Word ourselves, daily, perpetually, continually. The Bible, our most holy faith, which is contained in the Bible, we have to feed ourselves on that every day. Every day. It's essential that you spend time in God's Word and in the great doctrines of Holy Scripture, strengthening your faith by turning to your most holy faith every day, regularly, consistently, searching the Scriptures, giving brief periods throughout the day to feed on the Word of God. I mean, that's how you get strong physically. I mean, you don't go weeks on end without eating. You get in the morning, you get a good breakfast. You want a lunch. You want your tea and your dinner, and you maybe even get supper. Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and you go down and have a wee indulgence. We get big in feeding. We get obese, perhaps, physically. But there's no obesity in God's Word. Feed in that till your heart's content. Feed in that all the time, in the middle of the night. Eat away at it. Eat continually at it. And you'll not get overweight. You'll just get stronger spiritually. And that's what we have to do, brethren and sisters. In this apostate age, an age that votes for abortion, an age that, if you bring a referendum for same-sex marriage, they'll overwhelmingly back it. That's the age we're in, an age of darkness and an age of apostasy. And what does this world need? It needs strong Christians. Christians who love their Bible, feed on their Bible, know their Bible. And so that's what we have to do. We have to be always, it's vital for your growth. Regularly coming to the Word of God. Now, I know you can't give hours and hours to it. And you can't be chefs in Holy Scripture. It's the minister's job. He has the time. And we trust some of the gifts to be a chef in Holy Scripture, to make and prepare the meals, to feed God's people. Not all God's people have that gift of being chefs in Holy Scripture to give themselves a good feed. But you're to make the effort at it. You're to have some sort of lunch every day. You're to make some sort of effort to go to the cupboard of the Holy Word and to draw out something for your soul. And endeavor, by all means, endeavor to become chefs in God's Word. And the Lord bless you in the effort. But make some kind of effort, even if it's only a few minutes now and again. Get something from the Word. Go to it all the time and draw forth from it. That's how you build yourselves up. Even if you're just like that little boy, you just have your 5 little loaves and your 2 little fishes. That's all you can make up. That's all I can scrounge together because I'm so busy and I just don't have the gifts and the appliances to make the meal. But I'll grab my 5 loaves and my 2 little fishes. And the Lord will bless you And he'd even use them 5 little loaves and 2 fishes and multiply the edification in your heart the way only that the Lord can do. But as newborn babes, you should desire the sincere milk of the Word. So suck away at this holy scripture, the beautiful milk of God's holy Word. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be like Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Or be like Job and say, I have esteemed the word more than my necessary food. So feed on the scriptures, on your most holy faith. I know what I'm saying is basic. And you're probably thinking, this isn't a very deep sermon tonight. This is just ABC. This is just bread and butter. But no, we have to feed on the scripture. Well, brethren and sisters, I know it's just a basic sermon. But then Jude's exhortation is just a basic exhortation, isn't it? It's something we need to be told and need to be reminded about to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Because it's basic doesn't make it any the less necessary. The fact is, many Christians are weak. Many Christians are easily blown away. Lightweights in doctrine. And that's not the way the Lord wants us to be. And why are they lightweights in doctrine? They're failing to carry out this biblical injunction to build themselves up in their most holy faith. We have Christians today who don't even know the basic doctrines of the Word of God. We have Christians today who have no comprehension of the Trinity. They're praying to the Father and they're telling Him how He has died for our sins. They're confused. Why are they confused? Why do they not know the basic doctrines of the Word of God? Why can they not pray to the Father aright and address the Son aright and have an understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit and what He does in the economy of redemption? It's because they're not being built up on the Word of God. They're remaining ignorant. They're remaining weaklings. And how can we contend for the faith if we don't even know the Lord in His 3 sacred persons? You will notice how the 3 persons occur in the text. It says here, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's in the text. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the love of God the Father. The Father's in the text. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The Son of God is in the text. Paul isn't confused about the persons of the Godhead. He's established in the faith. He's established in the God of the faith, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The very basic of our understanding of the Lord, the God in whose name we are baptized, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we have to build up ourselves in our Trinitarian faith. And this failure to do this is why so many Christians are weak and feeble in the things of God. You remember how the apostle to the Hebrews had to write a great lament, and he says, it should be time when you ought to be teachers, but you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you become as such as have need of milk and not of meat. In other words, they've been Christians for years and years. You should be teachers. You should be chefs in God's holy word. But he says you're still on the milk. This ought not to be. This is why the country's in the state that it's in. Because there's a feeble church. There's a feeble Christian church in this land that doesn't hardly know what it believes, what it stands for. And the people who are going to all these churches, I'm not talking about Free Presbyterian churches, but I'm talking about, you know, Christianity generally. People are going to these churches, they have no idea what the faith is. And that's how the devil wants it. But if we had a strong church, if we had a strong Christian church in the land, and all the ministers were faithful, and all the ministers were built up in the faith, and all the people who were attending the congregations, if they were all built up in the faith, the land would be different. The problem in this land is a liberal, feeble, faint, dwarf church. And that's why Jesus said, build yourselves up. You need to be strong. That's why apostasy then is so rife, because Christians are babes or even carnal. And so, child of God, you need to live in the Scriptures. You need to get the meat of the Word. You need to get beyond the milk, beyond the promise box, and picking out a little promise out of the promise box every day, or finding the shortest psalm. You need to get beyond that. Build yourselves up in this precious, this wonderful, and this powerful, heavenly, holy faith of ours. So you have to feed on your most holy faith. And that's more than just reading a verse a day. You have to actually feed on the great truths of the faith, the doctrines, the Trinity, as I said, first and foremost, established in the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of the being of God, and the doctrines of creation and the atonement and redemption and the person and work of Jesus Christ. The great truths that the world hates, the great truths that the atheists attack and the agnostics abhor, and that the false religions intensely dislike. So we need to be built up in the great doctrines of the Word of God, justification, the covenant of grace, the work of the Holy Spirit, the grandeur and the glory of the world that is to come. These are the things that make up our most holy faith, unique and special, divinely revealed, and contrary to the devil's lie. And so we need to be in the Word. So ask the Lord. But we need to ask the Lord to give us an appetite for His Word. We need to ask the Lord to just give us a desire, a hunger. And He'll draw us to His Word. We need to ask the Lord to do that, brethren and sisters. We need to realize I'm just a little feeble saint, and I need to be strong for the Lord in these days. Just ask the Lord to feed you. Just ask the Lord to build you up. And then just come to the feeding trough and say, Lord, give me something. Give me something for my soul today. And there are many helps in your feeding yourself upon the Word of God. We thank the Lord for the helps that there are. Let me recommend you to one of the church's greatest helps in feeding on your most holy faith, the creeds and the confessions and the catechisms of the Christian church. These are vital documents. They're not inspired. They're not infallible. They're not the Word of God, but they are the rocks that, as it were, extrude out of the Word of God upon which we get a good understanding of what the faith is about. They have a marvelous ways of briefly comprehending what the faith is for us to know and to believe. And so I recommend you to read the great creeds of the Christian faith. They are essential. Our creeds have been growing for 2,000 years of church history. And there are literally scores and scores of sound, valuable creeds. And we need to read them. And we need to use them as helps in our comprehending what is our faith. What is the most holy faith that we believe and build on? The very basic one is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the believers used to practice a great practice of saying a creed every day. I recommend you to say a creed regularly. It does your heart and soul good just to be reminded of the basics of the Christian faith. And then I encourage you to read our own standards. There are great reform standards from Holland, from Europe, and from other parts of the world. But our own standards are very, very good. The Confession of Faith, formulated in Westminster, and then the catechisms, the larger and the shorter catechism. There's enough in these creeds and catechisms to last a lifetime. And you can use them devotionally.
And you can look up the texts. And it does your heart good, brethren and sisters, to just be established in the great doctrines of the Christian faith. So use them. They're of God, these creeds. And they are agreeable to the Word of God. So the use of creeds and catechisms is vital in this business. They don't replace the Word, no. But how beautifully and wonderfully and powerfully they bring together the prominent articles of faith that are in that Word, our most holy faith, what it is, these creeds wonderfully point out. And it is those things, the doctrines, that we are to build ourselves upon, especially the doctrine of the Trinity, and all the creeds are Trinitarian, especially the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ, and all the creeds are Christological. And so always be reading the creeds along with your Bible. But private and personal edification does not suffice on its own. Corporate and group and congregational edification is essential also. In fact, that's what Jude is writing about. He's not writing about personal edification. He's writing to the saints. He's writing to them congregationally. He's talking to them in plural. He says, build yourselves up. He's addressing the church. And so the saints in ancient times, they didn't even have their own copies of the Bible. Having Bible is recent, really, has really only multiplied in from the time of printing. The Christians depended on the congregational worship. They depended on the corporate coming together for their edification, and that's what Jude has in mind. There's no doubt about it. He's not telling the Christians to go into their closet with their little Bible and build themselves up. That's not even in his mind. But what is in his mind is they're coming together. And corporately and congregationally as churches, building themselves up in their most holy faith. So the early Christians depended on the congregational worship. And that's why we have the New Testament. Because they were epistles written to congregations, to churches. The passage that really opens what Jude is saying is found in Ephesians 4. And we must always interpret Scripture by Scripture. And in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and following, which is a very, very... If you write anything in your margin beside Jude, verse 20, write Ephesians 4, 11 and following. And study the text together. Ephesians 4 opens up Jude, verse 20. He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Here's the church. What has the church been given by Jesus Christ? This is the very first thing. When Jesus Christ ascended, the very first thing he gave was what? The Holy Spirit. And then after that, what did he give? He gave the offices of preaching. First of all, there were apostles, and there were prophets, and there are some evangelists. And then there are some pastors and teachers. So the great shepherd has given these offices. Now you notice that the word some occurs four times. Not five times, four times. But five names are given to the preaching role. But the word some only occurs four times. It's the last some that interests us. Some pastors and teachers. Here's one office, because it follows that word, some. It's the pastor and the teacher. That's one office. That's not two offices. The pastor is a pastor by being a teacher. And the teacher is a teacher by being a pastor. That's the gift of Jesus Christ. He's given the pastoral office. He's given the ministerial office. It's a joint role, pastoring and teaching. Pastoring is feeding and edifying, and feeding and edifying is only done by teaching. You know, I'm not going to edify you back in a clown in this pulpit and telling you stories all day long and amusing you and tickling you with fun. That's not my job, to be a great personality. My job is to teach you and edify you.
to preach to you. That's the only function of the pastoral office, not to play the clown, but the teacher. And Jesus Christ has given the Christian ministry, and he's given this pulpit. Why? For your edification, for you to be built up. And so we go on and read verse 12. He's given pastors and teachers. Why? Why has he done that, Paul? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why. The edifying of the body, the building up of the body, the feeding of the body. That's the task of the Christian ministry. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. There's the faith again. That's the only thing we're going to build on. We all build on that and we feed together till we all come together to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we don't be children tossed to and fro, lightweights carried about with every wind of doctrine by all the sleight and the deceiving and the craftiness of men. No, we're not to be children and weaklings just blown about by the devil. No, you have the Christian ministry. You come together. You sit under the word. You hear the faith expounded. You hear the preaching of the Son of God. And you grow. And you be edified. And you be built up. And that's the kind of church we need to be in an age of apostasy. And it's only done through a pulpit ministry. And that's why the pulpit exists. In other words, the church's building yard is the assembly of the saints and a pulpit ministry. That's why Jesus Christ has given this office of the ministry. And so then, brethren and sisters, we have to personally feed on the Holy Scriptures. Not only read them, but we have to regularly read them. We have to also believe what we read in the great doctrines of God's Word, and also we have to obey them. It's not enough just to have a head knowledge up here. We have to be practical Christians, and that's essential to our growth as well and building ourselves up, and that's essential. And we have to know our faith, and through the creeds and the catechisms, we know what we are to believe. And we study these doctrines in the Word of God. We see that they're there. And as we're drawing in to discover the grounding of the text behind these great creeds, we're edified. We're built up. You know, it's wonderful just to be taught again about the doctrine of justification. It's wonderful just to see afresh in a new light the doctrine of the imputing of Christ's righteousness to us. And to see what the atonement is at the cross. These are heart-thrilling doctrines. They don't just scratch around the surface for a little promise here and there and a wee verse. Well, I need a wee verse for guidance today. No, that's not what the Christian life's about. It's feeding on these great things. The cross work, the redemptive work, the mediatorial glory of Jesus Christ. Those are the great things that we feed our soul on. So don't be looking for a wee word and the Lord to come and give you some wee word, you know, about guidance. Should I go down to the shops now at 10:30 or should I go to bed at 8:00 at night or what? You don't need a wee personal word. You need to feed on the great things of the Scriptures. That's how you build yourself up. And then we have to do it congregationally, brethren and sisters, and that's why you have a pulpit ministry. And I would urge you to love the pulpit ministry and to value it and to realize how important it is and to thank God for it and to attend it faithfully and to pray for the ministry, to pray for your minister. Not so he'll be fat and flourishing, but that you will. If the Lord blesses me, he does it for your sake. If the Lord gives me a word and if he gives me help in this pulpit, he doesn't do it for my sake. He does it for your sake. That you may be fed and built up. So when you're praying for your minister, you're praying for yourselves and you're praying for the church and you're praying biblically. Biblically. So the exhortation may be simple, brethren and sisters, but it is foundational. and it's at the heart of being earnest contenders for the faith. So love your Bible and love the Christian ministry. Read your Bible and attend the proclamation of God's holy word. Simple. So simple. And that's what's commanded in our text tonight in this age of apostasy. We'll leave it there then.